This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So apparently, this is from Fox 4, this story we're about to air. I think Sam has it ready. Fortune tellers are now drawing cards.
Yeah.
What are they called? Tarot cards or
yes,
something?
They yes,
they are. On who's going to win the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Now, keep in mind, not all fortune tellers are tarot card readers.
No.
And not all tarot card readers are fortune
it's
tellers.
It's like Kleenex and tissue, Sam.
Yes.
I prefer to call them fortune.
Fortune
tellers. Yes.
Well, they'll also tell you your misfortune.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We should just ask the California psychics.
That is true.
All
but
right.
These are Kansas City-based and New Orleans-based fortune tellers, Daniel.
And there's Post Malone again.
I'm with me.
Stand by. Sorry.
I think Post Malone would have more accuracy in predicting it if we asked him.
New Orleans is known for its rich culture, which includes the supernatural. You'll find fortune tellers around town and other sorts. But since we're here in Kansas City, we wanted to ask our local psychics if they can predict Sunday's winner. A battle in the bayou as the Chiefs look to get the three-peat in New Orleans. But who will win? We took that question to those with a flair for the clairvoyant. Our first stop is to see Quan Cherry, an astrologer.
In my opinion, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
At first glance, he seems biased in his Chiefs jersey, but he explains the answer is in the stars, literally.
They favor Philadelphia in the beginning.
Okay.
In the first, in the first 40, maybe even quarter and a half.
After that, Cherry claims the Chiefs will take over and win 39-32. Not only that, but he says Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid complement each other better than Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni do.
Just the way energy works, you can't really understand the Virgo, which is Patrick, his ability to be so detailed and exacting and just, you know, where the spontaneity that he does, right? Without understanding Andy's coaching of the bigger picture.
Of course, you need to get a second opinion on these things, which takes us to our next stop, to see Consejera Karina, a psychic.
You say what you want to ask.
Okay. I want to know who's going to win the Super Bowl on Sunday, the Chiefs or the Eagles?
After asking that pressing question, she lays out the cards one by one.
I see it's going to be a very hard decision. Both of them, they are very good players, team. It's going to be so hard, but I have a surprise. I 100% is going to win the Chiefs.
The cards show that win will happen at the very end, within the final minute, with the Chiefs taking it all by just 1 or 2 points.
Over here, I can see difficult in the beginning, very hard for the Chiefs. Both of them, they're a very good team, but 100% is going to be the Chiefs. I see it.
She did this last year and accurately predicted a Chiefs victory. Consejera Karina says she's wrong just 5% of the time.
And with those odds, one might want to bet on the Chiefs.
So those are just a couple of opinions. But as of Wednesday night, the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites to win it all on Sunday.
Okay.
I don't think I'm getting those 2 minutes back.
That was 3 minutes.
Look, I think those predictions, those visions that they've had, hold just as much weight as all the talking heads we see on the sports.
That is not inaccurate.
I think theirs carries less. The talking heads at least know the teams. They follow the sport.
Oh, hey, how dare you diss the tellers of fortune?
If you have to roll out cards to decide who's going to win the game, you don't know the sport.
The cards help them read what's going to be happening in the future.
Then why is she wrong 5% of the time? And how does she know that?
On track record.
What, does she phone her old clients and say, was I right or was I wrong?
Well,
I'm sure they reach out.
Survey. Survey monkey.
I'm going to be honest. I've never done it. But there are times where I will walk by one of those storefronts, like in Lawrence, and I think...
I could lose $20.
I would go in there for $20 and just see what they had to say.
Now, I am one that has made fun of this practice my entire life.
Oh.
I have had one experience, one, with a medium. And I can tell you she knew things about me that no one else knows, and they want generalities.
She knows how to manipulate the information out of you and then feed it back to you.
Did she know your name before you went so she could look you up on social media?
It was not my own name. I wasn't even supposed to be part of the event.
Did she know that wasn't your real name?
Huh?
You said it was under another name.
No. The way that it works is in a group medium session is there are people who have passed who reach out.
Yeah. Like a seance.
Yeah. And she knew the first and middle name of my sister's father, who passed away back in 2011. I don't know anybody else with those two names. Nobody else in the room knew anybody with those two names. And she proceeded to tell me three things about my life that were fairly specific and had me going, huh?
Can you share those?
No, don't. But because...
Well, if they weren't very personal.
But it's all personal because...
There are strange things in this world
that you cannot explain.
That we cannot explain. And also,
by the way, you know this medium. She was a very good friend of Michael Mackey's. Yep. She has since passed.
Yep. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
The what has always bothered me are the scammers of the world, and I do believe they're just scammers
in very
nice suits, who will say in this crowd, "I'm getting something over here." Is it David, Don, Dennis, and then someone will go, "John, yes,
John."
John.
I had Dawn, but it's John.
I'm seeing a J. Janice? Yes. Yeah. You know, I think that has always bothered me because people so want to believe.
And to connect to the other
and
side.
And I've paid the money. I'm here. Maybe I'll be the one. And Sam, I'm glad that was meaningful for you.
To set the scene, I was sitting in the far back of a room of about 30 people. Again, I wasn't supposed to be at this event. I was just a tag along. And I'm sitting there drinking a beer, you know, like, whatever, this is crazy. And she goes, I'm getting a Joseph. And like 15 people raise their hand because how many people are named Joseph?
Right.
And I didn't raise my hand. And she goes, okay, let's narrow it down. I'm getting a Joseph Howard. Nobody else's hand went up. And I was like, well, that's me. Hello.
All right. Howard is an unusual middle name.
It's an unusual name, period.
Yeah.
How many Howards do you know in your life? I don't know any.
Stayed at Howard Johnson's once. That would have been funny if you had raised your hand and said, I stayed at Howard Johnson's once. They love it when you do that.
Yeah.
Public reading.
And so the things that she told you about Joseph Howard.
She specifically stated something that happened to me in the previous 48 hours and then proceeded to tell me two more things regarding my life. That were very accurate and, again, pretty specific.
All right.
But did she convey a message to you from Joseph Howard?
Once she confirmed that it was him who was trying to talk to me, she then conveyed a message, yes.
And were you able to give that back to your sister?
I told her about the experience, absolutely.
Okay.
Why can't they just once say, I'm seeing a bunch of numbers and I think you should play them on Saturday?
Right. Or predict a natural disaster, I don't know, like the fires in California.
But
which wouldn't be that hard to predict.
These fortune tellers, psychics that we were just listening to, I mean, they've got a 50-50 chance.
Yep.
So those are pretty good odds of being right.
Super Bowl ticket prices are dropping dramatically.
I bet.
According to the USA Today, last year the average price was $9,365. This year the average price is $6,645, down $3,000.
Okay.
Cheapest ticket is...
my couch.
$3,374. Boy, the fees are incredible. Like on SeatGeek, for example, the cheapest ticket they have is $2,649, but with fees, it's an extra $1,000.
For the fees?
The fees
that
are
$1,000. That should be illegal.
A 15% fee. It's the same thing when you buy cheaper tickets.
That's more than 15%, Sam.
About 16, but yeah.
Well, then they got to add
on $2,600.
They got to add in the convenience fee and
convenient for who?
The non-shipping fee and the.
I've always wondered by the way, I did my math wrong. I thought you said it was a $6,000 ticket. I've never understood. How is it a convenience fee? The convenience is that you don't have to hire somebody to sit in the box office and sell me a ticket.
Yep.
Bingo.
You should be paying me.
It's convenient for them, not for me.
Then why are we paying for your convenience when it's not convenient for me?
I don't know.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from Channel 5, a warrant was issued for the arrest of a Harrisonville woman after she was charged for allegedly trying to drive three children in her SUV while dangerously intoxicated. Nikki Bowers of Harrisonville, this happened back in May of last year, apparently. But buried down seven paragraphs down is her blood alcohol content. 0.08 is legally intoxicated. Mm-hmm. 0.16, you're pretty hammered. You're very hammered. She had a 0.336.
I always thought 0.4, you're dead.
She said, the story says, dangerously close to alcohol poisoning. Charged Monday with three counts of child endangerment and driving while intoxicated. If convicted, she could spend 60 years behind bars.
0.40 or higher is often linked to fatality.
0.336. Wow.
This is from Yahoo Sports. You can find it anywhere. A brain study does show that Conrad Dobler, once regarded as NFL's dirtiest player, had CTE when he died at age 72 in 2023. Conrad Dobler, once regarded as, quote, the dirtiest player in the NFL, had chronic traumatic encephalopathy when he died, according to his family and Boston University's CTE Center. The announcement was made Wednesday. He was an offensive lineman, a three-time Pro Bowl selection in the 1970s, and was diagnosed with stage 3 CTE. There are only 4 stages, and it can only be diagnosed, you know this, Scott, after
death.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen to this. His daughter, Erin Lewin, my dad loved the game of football, but his love for the game took a toll on his body, his mind, and his relationships. This diagnosis provides a sense of closure in terms of justifying his neurological and his behavioral issues that took a toll not only on him, but all of us who loved and cared for him. We are relieved, she goes on to say, to have a definitive answer and proud to honor his wish to go public with these findings. In a 2016 interview with USA Today Sports, Dobler said he was struggling with memory and motivation. Quoting here, then from Dobler, I have 6 kids. I don't even know their names.
Wow. He played for the Bills, the Cardinals, and the Saints. He only played in 129 NFL games.
That's one of the things I hope someday we have an answer. There are players who take what appear to be fewer hits over a career, mm-hmm, and end up with horrible CTE. And then players who take so many hits, public hits, and don't appear to struggle with those things later in life. Why? Why?
Like, are you suggesting that some people are just
I don't know. I don't want to say more prone to it. I don't know.
Well, that would seem to be the indication.
The equipment has gotten better, but it's the end-all be-all.
I mean, Jim McMahon, if you guys never saw that 60 Minutes episode with, I think it was 60 Minutes.
Terribly sad.
With Jim McMahon, and he's become kind of a spokesman. He and somebody else, I can't remember the other player's name, for CTE awareness. He's convinced he has it. As Dana mentioned, we won't know until he sadly passes. But Jim McMahon, watching that special, I think it was on 60 Minutes again, where he doesn't even know where his car is parked or where his keys are.
Or what keys are used for.
Right. And, you know, he wears sunglasses all the time because all those hits that he took, it like hurts his brain if he gets too much sunlight in his eyes. And to your question, Dana, I don't know the answer. I mean, wasn't there a story about a young man not far from here who only played through high school?
Horrible CTE.
And died of CTE.
Yeah, there are a handful of those stories, and it's so sad. But look that up later. Conrad Dobler, again, played for St. Louis, the Bills, and the Saints.
Mm-hmm. Played in 129 games, started 125.
And the family says they are sad, but they are almost relieved, Scott, because it helps explain some of the behavior. And I assume that's aggression, you know, all of those things.
Well, and the forgetfulness and, you know, the fact that he has six kids and doesn't know a single one of their names.
Yeah.
You know, awful. Story here from NBC Dallas. The economics of supply and demand continue to ripple through egg prices. The ongoing avian flu outbreak has forced farmers to euthanize millions of egg-laying hens in an effort to stop the spread of the disease, leading to a lower supply and higher prices. It has also led to people renting chickens.
What?
Some consumers are turning to a novel solution. Rent a chicken. Says he.
You're only going to get one egg per day at the most.
Well, you can rent more than one.
Why not just buy them?
They're only $2.50.
I mean, that's foul.
Okay.
Sorry.
Out.
This is
out.
No, a minimum of four times in an hour and 28 minutes.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Says the co-founder of Rent the Chicken, that's an actual company.
Rent the Chicken.
Rent the Chicken.
Got it.
Her name is Jen Tompkins. We bring a chicken coop with 2 to 4 egg-laying hens to someone's backyard. 2 hens lay about a dozen eggs a week. 4 hens lay about 2 dozen eggs a week. It's coming into our busy season. This kind of mimics 2023 when there was the avian flu. Mm-hmm.
There are no leads, by the way, that have come in the theft of the 100,000 eggs from the back of that trailer in Pennsylvania. No leads, Scott. No leads. Mm-hmm. So if you jack a trailer mm-hmm. with 100,000 eggs in it worth $40,000, what are you going to go on eBay and start? How do you move, for lack of a better word, 100,000 stolen eggs?
Well, did they steal the tractor trailer with the eggs in it?
I don't know.
Or did they move 100,000 eggs out of a tractor trailer and put them in the back of a pickup truck?
Very carefully.
This says the 100,000 eggs were snatched from the back of Pete and Jerry's organics distribution trailer at 8:40 p.m. I have never seen anything that says whether the entire enchilada was stolen or...
I didn't
and if
either.
They took the eggs out of the back of the trailer...
That would have taken forever.
To put them into what?
A lot of pickup trucks? I have no idea.
Oh, they're really having problems cracking the case.
Okay, both of you.
I'm just reading the news, Scott.
The feathers were ruffled.
Really? Seriously? 913-586. What is a dozen eggs now? $6?
Just under $5 as far as Monday.
Now, you shop at a...
discount grocer.
Yeah. Aldi, right?
Yep.
Okay. And they were just under $5.
$4.87, I believe.
Okay. At the grocery store at the corner of my house, or near my house, they were $5.95, and that was... What is today? Thursday? That was Saturday morning.
Wow.
They were $5.95.
I'm telling you this. We made an egg breakfast casserole the other day. Oh, my God. It's so good.
How many eggs do you use?
A lot. And I will tell you this. When we were cracking the egg, like making the thing, I remember thinking, don't you drop one of those.
There's a dollar.
That is gold right there. Don't you drop one of those eggs.
There's another dollar.
Was he like shaking, so
yes,
nervous?
Be very, very careful with the eggs.
913-586-7798. You're welcome to weigh in. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
From the New York Post, what is in a name? In this case, in many cases in this story, too many letters. A parent has revealed the list of her child's second grade classmates, baffling people with some of their bizarrely spelled names. The Redditor, who said they live in the Northeast in a rural area,
rural,
rattled off some of the names like Skyler, spelled S-K-U-Y-L-E-R.
Why do people do that to their children?
Emmett. I don't have a problem with Emmett. It looks like Kirstein, K-U-R-S-T-E-I-N, pronounced Kirsten.
No.
Some of the other ones.
They are going to struggle at Starbucks every single time they go in for the rest of their lives.
Some of the other ones, Avariella, LeKendron, Keegan, Cohen, K-O-H-E-N.
Now, Keegan's a common name. That one's
yeah,
not.
That yeah, one
but how
the
do they
wall.
Spell it? Is it K-E-E-G-A-N?
Yes.
Common okay. spelling.
That's all right.
And Payson. P-A-I-S-Y-N.
She can't stand still.
Some classmates. You're on fire today, buddy. I'm going to give you that one before I lose my lid. Some classmates also had more traditional names like Ella, Ian, and Brooklyn. Says one commenter, half of these poor children are going to grow up having their names made fun of and mispronounced.
Oh, they'll be mispronounced yeah. forever.
Why do people do that?
I don't know.
I mean, I understand.
Trying to think outside the box.
You don't need to think outside the box. And that poster's right. These poor kids are going to get made fun of, or their name is going to be constantly mispronounced. I don't understand this desire that some people have to be, pun intended, unique, because there's somebody in town named Unique.
With a Y.
Well, if you're going to get creative with any name, it should be that one.
That is a unique way to spell unique.
Okay. Remember the Prendl name? P-R-N-D-L? Prendl? Reverse neutral drive low.
Prendl. What's the E stand for?
There is no E.
Oh.
P-R-N-D-L.
Got it.
Prendl.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person in this city named Prendl.
Can I tell you that my iPhone, when I go to text someone or I go to, for
changes
some reason,
a certain word to duck?
Oh, it drives me crazy. Well, no, it knows better to do that. When I go to say, hey, it's Dana, can you call me? It always spells Dana,
D-A-Y-N-A.
Oh. It drives me crazy. And my person, MP, always comes out, like if I'm texting the kids, meet MP and me for dinner, it spells it a woman's name that is not his name. And I know you've said, Sam, you can go somewhere deep into settings and tell them to knock that off. I can't find how to do it.
You can correct the voice-to-text errors and the predictive text errors.
It's my own name.
Huh.
They should know my name. They're always listening.
Well, I don't know how many TVs I have, but whenever anybody says my name in voice-to-text, it's always Sam's TV.
You want to know what your name is in my phone?
And it
is
Steve.
That's right. Listen to this. By the way, when I say Dana in a text, it writes it out D-A-N-A and then autocorrects to D-A-I-N-A.
No Dana in the history of Dana's has spelled it D-A-I-N-A. Sam, your TV is the funniest misspelling ever. It's like anytime I say call in, hey, can you call in real
call
quick?
Lynn.
It
yeah.
always autocorrects to call Lynn.
Siri, call Sam Stevie.
Calling Sam Stuve Mobile.
Stuve.
Stuve.
I just respelled it, Sam. You're in my phone misspelled.
Spelled like Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Smart. Very smart. I did consider changing my Twitter name to Sam's TV, but then, you know, I figured I'm in radio. That
Sam's
might throw some people off.
TV is hilarious.
Yeah. What was it with Ellen Shank?
Skank.
That's right. Calling Ellen Skank.
Now, they have since corrected that one.
I believe they have. Let me see.
Oh, come on.
Let me see.
That was the best fail ever.
Siri, call Ellen Shank.
Calling Ellen Shank Mobile.
Oh, they figured it out.
It.
That's no fun.
Calling Ellen Skank. An historic rebrand of the Boy Scouts of America has been followed by a small uptick in young people joining what will now be called Scouting America.
Okay.
A welcoming sign as the organization tries to move past scandal and bankruptcy. They had a gain in membership of roughly 16,000, up less than 2% from the prior year, but it is still encouraging because the numbers are not going down. Apparently, Cub Scouts, the youngest scouting level, we all know that, saw an increase of roughly 3%. Although the majority of scouts are still boys, more than 196,000, girls participated in Scouting America programs last year. More than 8,000 girls have earned the rank of Eagle.
Good.
I was never a Cub, nor a boy, nor an Eagle
Scout. Were
you a
Weebelo?
No, I never did any of those things. I just learned by going out into the woods. But those are vital skills that we need that fewer and fewer people have today.
I always enjoyed my time in scouting. Until I quit right before I got my Eagle Scout.
Right before
the almost there Life Scout.
They need a special badge for that. It's called the Not Quite Badge.
Not quite an Eagle for Scout, or Not Quite an Eagle for Life Scout. You can get an honorary one.
That's like being a thesis short
one.
Of your master's. And then how do you write that out on your resume?
Now, typically, they give the honorary ones to people who couldn't get their Eagle because they went off to war.
Right.
I don't know what excuse you're going to give them.
What award a quitter gets? You know, I'm serious. You know, I adore my father, and he's my hero and everything. But just once, I wish he had told me, no, I'm not going to allow you to do that. Because we had just gotten back from a country I can't name. And which, by the way, scouting over there is totally different than it is here. And I joined a troop.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 months into it, I told my dad, I think I want to quit scouting. And like an idiot, he let me make my own decision.
He didn't press you and say, finish.
And he was an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
My dad was an Eagle Scout. And that's one of my great regrets is quitting scouting before I got my Eagle Scout award. I wish my dad had said, son, you're going to wish you hadn't. And I'm really pressing you to stay in scouting, get that Eagle Scout award. You know, you can use it on your resume. But I was 16 years old and I just didn't care. You know, it wasn't something I aspired to do anymore. And I quit, and he let me, and I wish he hadn't.
It's okay. You turned out all right.
Did I?
Sure.
Wow, take your time, guys. Unbelievable.
What are my choices?
That was very, very quiet. I don't know how I feel about that.
I do. I'm hurt.
I'm proud of anyone who even got close to the finish line of scouting. I don't have any of those skills. You know that. I can't find my car downtown with a Tesla that tells me where it's
parked.
You
can't find yourself downtown when you're trying to chase yourself.
I thought I was the turtle. No, I thought my car was the turtle. Turns out I was the turtle. Anyway, there are skills that I just don't have in life, and I am in awe of anyone that can do those things, like gutting fish or...
Directions.
In the future...
Changing a tire.
I don't know how to change a tire.
Oh, easy. In the future, the dot that is moving on the map...
Is you.
Because if the other dot's moving...
The thing that's stationary is what you're going to.
I posted the two screenshots of Life 360 yesterday. Scott and I, off the air, were joking about this. I said, I'm going to pull up Life 360 and just see what it looked like when I was roaming around looking for my car that I had just parked 45 minutes prior across the street from the Sprint Center. It's not like I was in some unfamiliar, unchartered territory.
You were downtown
at the epicenter of downtown, which is the Sprint Center. Couldn't find... I will say this about the parking garages. There are multiple entrances that span different blocks.
There's really only one to park in if you're going to the Sprint Center.
It's the one on the northwest corner.
Whatever. I tried north. I tried west. I went all the way around.
The do-si-do.
West is the power and light district.
Whatever. The screenshots of the Life 360.
Oh, hilarious.
Look like a blind toddler with an Etch-a-Sketch.
Yes, it does.
Do we need to do a Dana and Parks life skills day and I can teach you how to change a tire and...
No.
All that good stuff?
I'm good. I'm 50 years old if I don't have those life skills by now. No.
Fantastic idea.
Nope. I don't need to know how to change a tire. I have AAA.
I don't know whose car we're going to use because I don't have a jack big enough to
change the tire using a flint or whatever you use to like spark a fire in the woods.
Yeah.
I would probably spark a wildfire. Like, I don't need to do that. If I'm in so much trouble that I'm in the woods needing warmth, just kill me.
That should be in your EDC, Dan. Flint and steel.
Flint thrower?
Yeah.
It's not, is it?
It's part of it.
Is it really?
The survival kit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you just pack a lighter?
Well, because the lighter will burn out. Sure, yeah.
How long are you planning to be in the woods?
Flint lasts forever.
The flint will last forever.
He's like Tom Hanks
in
Castaway.
All you really need is a knife and a rock.
I mean, for short-term type of stuff, a lighter, of course, that goes into a couple of them, several of them. Put them in your survival kit, of course. But you also need to know how to do the backup.
But when the grid goes down, you're going to need that flint.
Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy theorist.
You're a prepper.
You're right. I have no defense. I have enough food to last 2 months.
I just come here and raid the company
well
kitchen.
Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. All of that's already rotten.
Right?
Like her tea.
That's a lot of Doritos.
Are those sandwiches cryogenically sealed?
Have you tasted them?
There are some mystery meat kind of sandwiches going on in that kitchen.
They're not cryogenic, but they are refrigerated.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Story here from The Guardian. Did you have a nightmare day at work? Date stand you up? Don't worry, things really will seem better in the morning. In the most comprehensive study of its kind, scientists have found that generally the world feels brighter when you wake up. People start the day in the best frame of mind in the morning, but end in the worst at about midnight, according to the study. With the day of the week and the season also, of course, playing a part. Seasonal affective disorder, etc. According to the study, which is from the University College of London, mental health also tends to be more varied at weekends but steadier during the week. Generally, things do seem better in the morning. Mental health and well-being are dynamic in nature and subject to change over short and long periods. Scientists wanted to explore whether time of day was associated with variations in mental health, happiness, life satisfaction, sense of life being worthwhile, and loneliness.
It's 100% true as far as I'm concerned.
You're happier in the morning than you are at night.
Oh, yeah. My late night anxiety is insane. I have largely curbed my anxiety through my lifestyle changes lately to the point that I go through most of the day with a little to no anxiety, depending on how much sleep I got. But by the time 11 o'clock rolls around, I can convince myself that I am the worst person in the world and deserve nothing I have.
Sweetheart. Okay. Do you also know the Sunday scaries are a real thing?
They are a real thing.
I always get that
feeling. I've never heard of those.
Oh, Scott, you know it. I don't even have to tell you what it is.
Sunday scaries.
At night, the anxiety of the new week coming. I used to hear that 60 minutes. And I love 60 minutes. I hate that noise because I equate that with my 2 days of calm and quiet and peace and happy things are over. And I've got to start over. Even though I love my job, you know how much I love my job.
Yeah, of course.
They have studied this. It is called the Sunday scaries, where you get this weight and anxiety Sunday night, especially.
Huh.
And then it starts to lift. I feel like, Sam, Thursday into Friday, I'm in a great mood.
So that's actually part of the reason why I still work at my other job. I only work there on Sundays. And there aren't any Sunday scaries when you're already working.
That's a great point.
You get Saturday scaries?
I don't.
I could get a job on Sundays. Or I could just put up with the Sunday scaries. Wait, I'm going to do that.
That wasn't even a conversation worth having.
That was...
Give me a break.
I will just be terrified all day Sunday.
Crayola is releasing, bringing back 8 fan favorite retired crown colors.
Is burnt sienna one of them?
No, it is not.
Whatever happened to burnt sienna?
Are they crowns or crayons?
They're crayons, but if you're Dana Wright, they're crowns. Here are the ones that are coming back. Dandelion.
Okay.
Blizzard Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Magic.
Yes, please.
Magic Mint. Mulberry. Orange Red.
That's orange
probably, that's
red.
That's probably your favorite color.
It is. I like an orange and a red. Yeah. Good.
Orange is a primary color, isn't it, Sam?
Shut up.
Okay. Violet blue.
I forgot about that.
How do you make violet blue?
That was so funny.
Lemon yellow and raw umber.
Why is there red in
You don't remember
corn?
Raw umber
no,
as a child?
I do not.
Burnt sienna and raw umber were...
Why did they ever get rid of red orange? That was one
it's
of the
orange
they
red.
Were oft used in my childhood. Do you remember how cool you had to be to have the large Crayola pack with
64?
Six and in the back of it, it had
a sharpener.
Well, the 124 pack had 2 sharpeners.
Well, that's because you're probably using it with a friend.
Look, weren't you highfalutin? I didn't even have Crayola crowns. I had like the knockoff ones.
Well, yeah, you didn't have crayons. You had crowns.
Nice. All right, news with Dan EDC Weinbaum coming your way in just a moment. He is Sam Steve III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. We will see you on the other side of the news here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.